Thank you guys so much for coming. I know it was really nice outside, so I appreciate it anymore. So I always like to say I am a recovering channel professional. My name is Heather K. Markolis, and I am a recovering channel professional.
You're Hi, awesome. Heather.
Thank you. I'm the CEO and founder of Channel Maven Consulting, which turned 10 on Friday. Friday, we're 10 years old. Thank you. I'm originally from Boston, so tonight, if we're anywhere near the happy hour, I'll start dropping my ass. And I currently live in Boulder, Colorado, which is probably why they had my session ending at 4:20. Sorry, I'm out, guys. I got nothing. I love my dog. If you ever come to our website, she's our chief cuteness officer. And I have two kids under three, so last night was the best night in about 6 months. I slept all the way through the night. It was great. We are all totally inundated by communications. Forget channel marketing, forget your partners, forget your day-to-day. Anytime you open your email and you've slept, how dare you sleep and not read through your emails during that time? We wake up to, I certainly wake up to, anywhere between 50 and 100 emails on a regular basis. I go into a meeting and I come out and I am bombarded by 20 to 50 emails again. We have to ensure, and what do you guys do? You get an email, you wake up, you have 100 emails. Are you reading through all 100? It's become, you don't even have to click on it anymore. You can just go like this and you're deleting as you're doing that the whole time. So we need to think about how do our email communications rise above all of that noise. I was having a channel partner, by the way. Don't all your channel partners look like that? Every single one, right? Yeah, all the dudes. So I was having a conversation with a vendor and I said, you have to cut down on your email communications so that people will actually open your emails. Otherwise, they're just delete. I don't even have to do this anymore. I'm just deleting. So I said to her, well, we're not really sending that many emails. I said, okay, great. Let's do the math. How many times is product marketing emailing your partners? Well, about twice a month. Not much more than that. Okay, great. Do you do a newsletter? Yep. Just one a month. That's it. Okay. Do you do a webinar? Yes. But we only email three times for the webinar. A month before, the week before, and a couple hours before. Oh, that's pretty good. And how many webinars a month do you do? Oh, only three. Okay. And then when someone registers, do they get a reminder? Yep. And then we also send the replay to everybody. Okay. So two more for each webinar. And then, do you have channel account managers or salespeople? Yep, yep. And they're probably emailing, oh, I don't know. They don't tell us. They just send an email. So that's kind of like a lot of emails from one vendor. And your partners work with anywhere between 5 and 25 vendors. So that's a lot of deleting they're doing. Today, we're going to talk about how you get your message across without bombarding them with email and ensuring that all of your stakeholders are still getting the messages out. So how many of you in here are in charge of wrangling all that content? You do a call for content. Who has something they need to send to, or somebody on your team? Who has content they need to send to partners? And how many of them say, but wait, mine's the most important. No, really, mine has to go. It's about a launch. It's about a webinar. It's about an event we're doing. It's about a new resource we've launched on the portal. It's about our new portal. It's about the fact that we've never had a portal and now we have one. It's about our marketing automation tool. It's about our certification. It's about a new training method. It's about a live event we're doing. It's about a roadshow. It's about a new way that they should sell. Mine's the most important. They can't all be the most important. So we're going to talk about how we ensure that all of that messaging goes out without each one getting a separate email. The problem is really twofold, right? You have to ensure that all of those stakeholders understand the priority and the different communications, that email is not the be-all and end-all of communication, and that your partners are top of mind. A lot of times someone will say to me, it's okay. We're the MSP team, so we send emails just to MSPs. That other team over there, they only send emails to solution providers. Whenever we've compared those two lists, Without a doubt, there's somewhere between a 25 and a 40% overlap. So the partner signed up for something, they went to a webinar, which then designated them an MSP. It's so incredibly important that the communications are to the correct person and the correct role within that organization, but that you're also taking into account that different departments in your organization might be communicating as well. I love this kid. If anyone, has anyone not seen this kid? Listen, Linda, listen. You need to explain to those teams, all those people who feel that their message is the most important. Your job is to explain to them that their message is the most important. Listen, I get it. It is the most important, but there are different ways to communicate. So today we're going to talk about how to spread all of those messages across different vehicles. And this is very pretty, I know. It's a little bit of an eye chart, but I will go through each one of these steps individually. There's still as many touch points. So across the top, you have different weeks. Down the column are the different touch points. They're not all email. That's the trick. So it's really incredibly important that you think about the different vehicles. When you're about to communicate, think about the benefit to the reader. Is it going to spark joy to the reader? Is it going to ensure that they're getting something out of it? And that's twofold as well. So is the way that you're representing that information immediately telling them the value proposition, immediately explaining to them what they're going to get out of that? And then also, are you hitting them in the right way? There are some ways in which my friend David Meerman Scott, who just joined us, not making me nervous at all whatsoever, would always say, people do business with people they like, not with logos. It's up to you to represent your channel champions as the face behind your channel. Think about your executives. Who should be out on social so that your partners feel like they know them? They're building a relationship with them. The first thing you want to do is update their profile. Make sure that they have a headshot that they can recognize. I can't tell you how many times someone has come up to me and said, it's so nice to meet you again. We saw each other at such and such event. I wasn't at that event, but I'm very active on LinkedIn. So we're connected on LinkedIn. I've posted content. They feel like they may have actually seen me speak at an event I wasn't at. Do that for your channel chief, your head of channel marketing, your head of channel sales. Each one of those folks should have a thought leadership platform on LinkedIn to your partners. Once you've updated their profile, they have a compelling headline, they're somebody that the partners would want to connect with, then you can start connecting with partners. So we would take everyone off your PRM tool and have, obviously your executive's not gonna do that. You can have an intern, you can have an entry-level person sitting there and connecting for your executives, but you have to put a customized message. You can't just say, I'd like to add you to my network on LinkedIn. It needs to be something compelling. It's so great to see that you're currently a partner or we're in the same line of work or we're focused on cybersecurity as well. Whatever the reason that the connection makes sense, there needs to be a personalized message so that the partner is willing to accept that connection. Then start posting relevant content. I would actually say start posting relevant content before the connection's made so that if the partner is going out to your executive's LinkedIn profile, they can see, oh, they post things I'm actually interested in. That's a reason for me to connect with them. And then continue posting that relevant content, nurture that relationship so that when content is then posted that's about a webinar or about a product launch or about a new platform or a PRM or marketing automation tool or a new resource, the partner is already following your executive and is going to learn about it then. I'm not saying never do email. Do we have a question?
We do.
Great.
What do you do when you have, no pressure. What do we do when we have an executive who may or may not be like open to this idea? Is there some
send them to me? No, I'm
some
kidding.
Things that you would recommend?
Yeah. So A lot of the, when an executive has concerns, some of the things say, but this is my personal network. Why should I be connecting with a partner? Their business is going to continue to grow that way. So LinkedIn really is a career platform. I'm not asking them to connect on Facebook or even Instagram if that's something that they hold more personally. LinkedIn is a professional platform. That's what it's for. So having them post on LinkedIn is much more appropriate. If they only want to connect with current partners, that totally makes sense. But it's also, I'll get into recruiting in a minute, and it's a great, how many of you are actively recruiting new partners? Yeah, it's a great way to recruit partners as well. So it's really about, you wouldn't have them posting anything that wasn't authentic to them or to your business. It's just reaching out in a more personalized way. The other thing, so social is one avenue that it's really incredibly important to connect with those partners, to build the relationships, for them to feel like they're doing business with people. It's also a great way to train your channel account managers, whatever you call them, CAMs, PBMs, IPBMs, whatever your channel account managers are. It's a great way to ensure that they're really connecting with partners. And then for you to also be able to track how many partners, because you can download your connections and they can clean it up to take out their brother-in-law and mother-in-law. And sorry if my mic is jarring. To be able to connect with those folks on a traditional platform. So you take LinkedIn connections, make them a CVS, and then you can put them into a PRM as well. How many, can somebody start tracking the acronyms? Do I get like drink tickets by the, because I can start over. The other thing you want to think about is when you are communicating, when you have to send that email, please, please, please don't send an email about one thing. I really love newsletters. Now, they don't necessarily work for prospecting, especially in a B2B space, but newsletters to partners who all are already an audience of yours. They have signed up. They have said, I want to sell your solutions or service your solutions. They are going to tune in. The thing that I love about aggregating something on a newsletter is that you're sending one email to talk about all of those things that the different departments within your organization are concerned about. You're posting about the webinar. You're posting about the launch. You're posting about the new platform. What I would say when you're aggregating this content is to always put things in the same place. So you send this to all of your partners. If it one size fits all, great. Make sure the sales corner is in the same place every single month so that they get used to, I just need to go there because I'm the salesperson. Your marketing information is always in the same place. That said, if you have the bandwidth, sending one per role, as long as you ensure that there aren't, that people aren't signed up for multiple roles. So if I'm the executive, I don't want to get the executive newsletter and the sales newsletter and the marketing newsletter and the MSP newsletter because I'm actually an SP. So you just have to ensure if you are going to segregate your content that you ensure someone's not getting five newsletters all at once. That said, when you're aggregating, sometimes things can still get lost. So I would take every piece of content here and ensure that it's getting pushed out on your social. So your channel handle, your executive channel handles, and I'm talking Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, whatever you're leveraging and you ensure that your audience is paying attention to, your channel account managers, your salespeople, all of their handles as well. So every single one of these articles becomes a tweet, becomes a LinkedIn post, becomes information that you are sending across all social handles as well to ensure that they're getting multiple touch points. I also want you to think about content versus a vehicle. So a lot of times someone will say to me, yeah, but we blogged about it. That was great 10 years ago. 10 years ago, I would say blogs could have been a vehicle. Today, if you don't post about it, if you don't push your blog on other content to ensure that it's getting to your audience on a vehicle, then it's just content. It's just sitting there. You could create the best video ever, and if it's not being shared or pushed or reshared, it's not on a vehicle. It's just a piece of content. So it's really incredibly important, especially with your partners who may not be as tuned into your blog because they're out there selling, that they're also getting it in the newsletter that aggregates all of the information. They're also getting it on all of the social handles that they should be following. And a lot of cross-pollination can happen there as well. Your partners know who the channel chief is, and they know who their channel account manager is, but they might not know people in between. So it's really incredibly important that you can disseminate this to all of your channel sales teams, all of your channel account managers, between other departments as well. So if, again, if there's a communications team to MSPs, a communications team to solution providers or systems integrators or whatever the partner type is, it's really incredibly important that you guys are all in communication about what's getting pushed when. Here's my beautiful chart again. And I think this is a pointy. Oh, yeah. Great. Okay. So this is the ongoing LinkedIn invites. Connecting with 10,000 individuals can take kind of a long time. And we don't expect your channel. I'm sure how many of your channel chiefs or the channel chiefs sitting in the front row would just sort of sit there and connect with partners, go find them, find their link. No? Okay. So having somebody initiate those connections and do the personalized invites is a constant drill. The next, posting for that executive and then a second executive, anytime we have a piece of content, whether it's a webinar replay or a video or a blog or a newsletter or information about a launch, that is what I would consider a piece of content. That gets pushed on both executive handles. It gets pushed on the client's social, the handle, the logo. And then we also do a webinar digest. Because this client was doing so many webinars every month, we did a webinar digest. So they would have a webinar digest and a newsletter. And that was it for emails. Then we would also do a drip email to a subset of partners. So if one partner, if one subset of partners was maybe inactive, they hadn't been doing very much with that vendor, we had a drip campaign with a great piece of content as well as some links to webinars and other content that was helpful to them that we would send out as well. So total, they went from over 15 emails a month to five emails. That was it, no matter what it was. And then we would do an executive blog, which again is a piece of content because it's sitting there, and we would push that on all of these pieces, all of these vehicles. And then we would have, the blog that would go out on social as the corporate handle, the partner handle, and all of their salespeople. So we did more touches than when they were doing 15 emails, but they weren't bombarding with email. So I want to talk recruitment again, hands up high, because it's a noble cause. How many of you are actively recruiting? Scary, right? So many partners and you can't get them to pay attention. So recruitment has really taken an inbound tact. For any of those of you who also do demand gen or have done demand gen in the past, it's very similar. You have a piece of content, an ebook or a video or a podcast series that talks about not why they should partner with your company and sell your solutions, but the pain point that you solve. We used to talk about first we were selling products, then we were selling solutions. Now we're selling a business outcome. So what is that outcome? How are you going to help your partner's customers realize that outcome and make your partners look like the hero, which is what they always want? So we have that piece of content that goes out in a drip email. And then you conduct a retargeting and account-based marketing campaign, which I would never pretend to be an expert on that. There are a lot of other sessions going on where people can speak to that. But once you have them in that campaign, you can take a step back, because what used to happen is partners would get a phone call from a vendor that would say, hey, we see that you sell XYZ product. Do you also want to sell this product? And they'd say, nope. And you'd say, okay, great. I'll call you in a month to see if that's different. How many of you like cold calls? How many of you like getting cold calls? How many of you like making cold calls? Okay, great. So recruiting with a cold call definitely doesn't work. Your partners are taking time and money out of the field to be recruited, to be certified, to be ramped up on your solutions. So the benefit of having an account-based marketing or retargeting campaign is you're sort of, for lack of a better term, wearing them down over time. They are becoming very interested in your content. Once they've registered for that piece of content, then you can put them into a drip that continues to nurture them and nurture their interest until they're ready to come to you. It takes longer, but by the time they come to you, they are ready to be recruited. So we see a faster time to actual sale with those partners because they've taken the time, they're ready to sell your solutions and service your solutions. So I would love to open it up to questions. Again, realize there's an issue with how much you're communicating. And it's up to you to educate the rest of the channel comms team to ensure that they understand that there's a problem as well. Figure out a plan, prioritize the pieces of communication. Start with social, get those executives up on social so that they can be the mouthpiece to your communications. And then aggregate your communications, drive content through the ideal vehicles, and update your recruitment strategy. Thank you guys so much. I would love to take any questions. Yes.
So this vendor you were working with that was apparently abusing the email, how many unsubscribes did they get from partners? What do they do about that?
They actually don't get a lot because somebody sees it come across and they say, oh, that's a vendor that I sell. I'm just going to delete it. I'm just not going to read it. And by the way, I use them as an example. It's every client we work with is doing that. When we initially have that conversation, I shouldn't say every. I had a conversation this morning that was very eye-opening because this channel chief, who's usually not as close to the communications piece, had very specific, we have a newsletter and we have this and I don't hear that often. So yes, the example I gave is not an anomaly.
How many do you think are optimal per week?
Optimal per week? It depends if you mean to a single person, one, maybe. I mean that, I would rather have them so dialed into your social and so looking forward to getting your newsletter because it only comes once a month. That, you know, maybe twice a month, three times a month is ideal. I want them checking your social. I want them tuned into that. Yeah. They don't have LinkedIn?
Yeah, like, you know, for example, we sell to like print shops. Sometimes they are. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that's what we like to call an alternative channel partner. So they're not a VAR or a reseller. They're
they just
brick and mortar. Yeah. I want to get back to you on that because I don't know how to answer that question right now. I haven't had the what if they don't have LinkedIn in a really long time. So let me think about that. Then I would create a alternate. If your executives don't feel comfortable connecting with them on a personal, I would have them create an alternate Facebook or create a Facebook group where they can all have a conversation and get involved in a Facebook conversation. The other thing you might want to think about, because LinkedIn is such a great sales tool, is training them. Get your partners on a webinar and train them how to use LinkedIn. And in the process, make sure they're connecting with your channel chiefs. Yeah.
You mentioned at the beginning, if you have like 100 emails, you're just going to be scanning through delete, delete, delete. Do you have any tips on like the subject line, how to make it a bit more interesting?
It's actually interesting because I can't even see the subject line on my phone. I just see who it's from because I'm looking on my phone. Any suggestions on subject line? That was a really good question. Nothing salesy. And I don't love the emojis in the subject line, I got to say. Yeah.
It's really who it's coming from. So if you Truth. Have a publication that's coming from the channel team, they're not going to open it. But if you use marketing automation where you can use someone's name
yes.
or the account manager's name, partners have told us that if it comes from someone I know, I'm more likely
Your
to
opens
open
will
it.
Definitely yeah. go up. So the question was, is there a subject line that's optimal? And the answer was, not for me, from another audience member, less about subject, more about who it's from. So don't send it from channel marketing at XYZ vendor. Send it from your channel chief or your VP of channel sales or VP of channel marketing. So preferably the person they're connected to on LinkedIn so that they are able to put a face with a name or an email with a name. Any other questions? I think I'm the first one to end. Oh, one more question. Yeah. And that's another thing. We used to, 5, 10 years ago, open an email that was all banners and pictures, and you could tell that it was an HTML. And now a lot of our clients, except for their newsletter, are sending text emails because that's what people are more willing. It's like when you get an envelope and somebody actually wrote your name on it, you're way more likely to open it. And then it's, you know, yes.
LinkedIn groups.
So I was a huge advocate of LinkedIn groups. They kind of got tired. They got very salesy, and LinkedIn has just relaunched them. So we are going to start dabbling in LinkedIn groups. The other thing is creating a group that's just for partners that they need to either be invited to or there's a moderator who can accept them. I think those are super valuable, and the partners see it more as a exclusive club that they're getting into. So that's also a great way to get messaging. I mean, what better way than sending a webinar invite onto a group to ensure that the people in the group are truly your partners already? Anything else? Yeah.
Do any of your customers use community platforms where they have birds of a feather communities?
So the question was, do any of your customers have birds of a feather communities or community platforms that where their partners join? A lot of them leverage their PRM tool as such, but I can't say that their partners are as active as they want them to be on there. You could do something like that regionally and have much smaller groups, but once you expand it to all potential partners, they know that they're on the community with their competition. So they're not going to be as open about what they're talking about. Anything else? Well, it is 4:20, so thank you guys so much for joining. Good job.